Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted nonprofit podcast host. I'm here with Megan Enan, who has an exciting story to share with us about innovation and music. I would love to hear about your organization, how you joined it, how it got started, and what your primary mission is.
Amazing. Amazing. Jeremy, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. It's such a pleasure to get to talk about these things together. So as you mentioned, I'm Megan. I'm the executive director of the Live Music Project. We've been around since 2014. We are grown, born and bred in Seattle. And then in 2021, we've expanded our services to be national and de facto international. So let me tell you just a little bit about Live Music Project. And Live Music Project is a 501c3 nonprofit. We are a classical music advocacy and tech for good organization, which basically means that we build all of our own tech in-house to support the classical music field. So that looks like us having a national, international concert calendar that is devoted to classical music and really the widest umbrella. We really think of that as the widest umbrella of classical music. So that can be everything from ancient, early music through contemporary classical music, everything in between. And this really came about because our founder, Shia Lion, moved from New York to Seattle, and she was looking to get more involved with the scene, not as a musician, but as a listener. She comes from a journalism background, a tech background, and she was looking for one specific piece. She really wanted to hear the Brahms Double Concerto played live. And anyone who listens to music, who loves music, knows they've got a song, they've got a piece. They want to hear their favorite players play their piece, right? And so it doesn't matter what genre it is, you know what that feeling is like when you're like, oh, I just want to hear this live. She started looking around and she realized that there was this issue, this problem. You know, she was looking around for Brahms Double Concerto. She could only find through Googling, through searching, looking at different people's websites, things that had happened in the past or were somewhere else, completely irrelevant to her and what she was looking for. And she could not find a source or a hub where you could look for concerts that featured a piece that you wanted to hear, a composer that you wanted to hear live, an instrument that you wanted to hear live, or be able to look for things based off of whether or not it fit your budget, right? So Live Music Project has this concert calendar that allows listeners to really filter and search by the things that interest them. So it's really about, can I look for a piece, an instrument, a type of concert, right? Do I want to go to a house concert? Do I want to go to a concert in a hall? Do I want to go to something that's free? Do I want to go to something that's sensory friendly in my city? You know, any of those kinds of things. And in that process of researching, looking around, Shia discovered for herself that Seattle alone had something like 30 community orchestras. She was like, so even in addition to what we would think of as some of like the legacy organizations in that area, like Seattle Symphony or the Opera, you know, any of the organizations, Seattle Chamber Music Society. So she was looking at all of these places and then stumbled upon all of these ensembles that were performing, often doing free concerts. And at the time, so 2014, she's going to these websites. She sees that their concert season is a JPEG on their website and realizes, like, Google can't scan this. Google has no idea that this concert is happening, right? And then it starts to form in her mind that she's like, you know, maybe we could build something. Like, maybe we could build a platform that brings all of this information together so that it's not just spread out and the listener has to go on this like spelunking adventure into the internet to find like, oh, I want to go hear a piece, but I have no idea where to start, right? Or even just going to hear classical music in general, right? And so much of the classical music side of the music industry is about organizations and ensembles saying, here's our season, come join us because you know that we play at such a high quality level. And all of that is true. But there is space in this field for us to allow listeners to discover concerts based off of what kind of experience do they want to have? What are they looking for? You know, and they go to all sorts of different ensembles, organizations, all the kinds of things. So they may have somewhere where they go and they are a season subscriber and they're not going to miss a concert, right? They're going to everything in that season. But they also might want to try this ensemble or that orchestra or this symphony, you know, and Live Music Project really sits at that spot where it's about helping listeners find their way into these live music performances in their area based off of their interests. We call that listener agency at LMP, right? Honoring listener agency. And so that's really where Live Music Project comes about. So I was telling you about the concert calendar is our flagship program. And then we also have a really incredible program called Spontaneous Free Tickets that also came about from, you know, us being embedded in the community and organizations that had concert tickets. And they said, oh, Shia, you know, our founder, Shia, would you like to come? Here are some free tickets to our performance. And she said, oh, I can't come to this one. Is it okay if I turn these around and give them to other listeners on our email list or whatever? And from that first genesis of that idea has grown this entire program. It's an audience development tool where people sign up, they get email offers where they just say like, hey, do you want to throw your hat in the ring for free tickets for this particular concert? They win those tickets, they go, they have a great time, and they fill out a survey after it that then gets passed back to that organization. Because so few arts organizations really get to hear feedback from those first-time audience members. And so these two programs really just fill a need. It really is this way of showing up and being advocates for this field to bridge that divide that listeners and musicians feel. They want to be in that space together, but we're using technology to make that easy, you know, just make it easy to be curious.
That makes a lot of sense because, you know, in the SEO and marketing field, we often see a very large gap between the intention of businesses to reach their audience and their actual capability to understand how to do that with all of the, you know, intermediate, you know, like Google, how do you get your website to rank and show up and all of those extra steps. And I also personally work with a couple of nonprofits, you know, ones like a homeschool co-op. And so I know how difficult on an organization side it can be just to even, like, I just realized they don't actually have a website. They've got a page on a parent company's, you know, homeschool co-op thingy. And it's like, you can't find it. And there are seven different rooted co-ops in the U.S. I'm like, which one is ours? So I can only imagine the level of difficulty of organizing for a nonprofit, for a music group, you know, that wants to put their music out there, has something of value to give the community, but it's also not like heavily monetized. It's not like a rock concert. It's not pulling in huge amounts of butts, but it's also like something that brings value and that it can be really appreciated. What was that journey like of finding the technical expertise to pull that off? Was it something just through trial and error? Was there a partnership with the university or a process that you used grant money to explore or develop the program?
You know, that's such a good question, Jeremy, because we've really gone about this in a way that is specific to us. And I know that not everybody could follow the same path, but it's been the way that we were able to make this happen is, as I mentioned, Shia does come from a tech background, you know, product management mostly. Moving to Seattle, she was surrounded by people that are working in tech that have these skills. And that's where we got really, really lucky with LMP is that from early days, we've had a volunteer software dev team. And this is only possible because we have so many skilled tech workers in the Seattle Pacific Northwest area who are encouraged to take on projects like this or are even given corporate matching from their companies like Microsoft or Boeing or, you know, whatever, that they are also encouraged to support nonprofits like ours through their work. And then some, and like I mentioned, even sometimes through corporate matching dollars for those volunteer hours that they're giving to our company. And over the course of time, that does mean that working with volunteer teams, that your building process is going to be slower than you, like if you were doing this in a for-profit capacity. But it also means that we've got this incredible workforce development pipeline. We've built relationships with coding boot camps, with schools, with all sorts of things along the way, so that we are also a place where recent graduates from those boot camps can come have real world working experience on technology that is being used right now. So it's like their work is immediately public facing.
Yeah.
That really helps. So we sit in that, again, another little bridge area where we have incredible mentors who give of their time and their talents, and then also recent graduates who are wanting to build their skills. And this is a really helpful and impactful way for them to get involved on a real project that then they can show in their portfolio. And that, so if honestly, if anybody is listening that has those skills that wants to get involved in a project like this, please, please, please reach out to me, come visit our website, you know, and we'd love to have people involved. Because it's volunteer based, that means that there's always people coming into the project and people moving on to their next thing. And so there's always space for people that want to be involved that way. And to your point, you mentioned grants, things like that. I was talking about spontaneous free tickets. One of the ways that we took that from this extremely manual process that we were running for many, many years, right? Which helped us. We've really proved the model by doing it super manually and knowing exactly what we want to do in the tech roadmap for all of the parts and pieces, is run all of your programs super manually and then turn that into the automated platform. But we worked really closely with a Tech for Good organization. Like, so through Stevens University, we've gotten to do a couple of key things like that, where we're partnering with a group of either students or they have a Tech for Good program. And we've partnered with them to do some of those key beginning steps of building out a platform like spontaneous free tickets. And then that helps get that foundation going and then turning that over to our dev team so that they continue to take that. So we are about to, hopefully, by the time this airs, then our newly built, our relaunched spontaneous free tickets program will be out in the world in its new format after we've had all of our dev team working on it. It's so exciting to kind of see it in this stage where we're, you know, doing all the QAing and all that stuff at the end, where right before we're about to take it back to the people. And I know we've got a lot of our community members who have been very patient as we've been doing these steps of the process to bring it back. And it was a program that we only ran in Seattle for its beginning years. And then this version, where we're able to do the automations and have so much of it work in the background, doesn't change the user experience insofar as it'll still be all of the things that they want and faster, but it allows us to actually roll that out nationally too. So it'll match our same reach as the concert calendar. And they talk, those two programs essentially talk to each other on the back end so that they're integrated. So things that are showing up on the calendar can also show up in spontaneous free tickets, becomes part of that same process. So that's how we think about building our technology, is really about, is that step of what is the need? Like, are people asking for this? What is the way that we can work towards this from the perspective of people that are coming as listeners, as practitioners, arts administrators, the musicians themselves? We're really blessed to have, you know, even though we're a super small staff and overall team, we're all coming at that from multiple vantage points. As a professional musician myself and an arts administrator, I get to see both sides of the need and the logistics that go into these things. And those are such important details when you're building the technology to support a specific community or field. And I know that you know that. And that's really what drives how we think about building technology and the steps that we're taking.
Is the ongoing mission concept going forward to expand vertically or horizontally? Meaning, are you going to try to develop the tech to better solve the solution further? Or is its mission to expand the same concept and be able to do more of this in more locations, maybe globally? Or is it to replicate itself and maybe see if there are other nonprofit areas of a similar vein or similar potential that you might fork off from a programming perspective, create a fork and have it do something similar, but not quite the same?
I think that our first goal and what we've been doing with the concert calendar is more about that geographic expansion. So it really is about becoming a household name, a trusted resource across the United States, and then hopefully beyond. We already have people that use the concert calendar internationally, and we are hoping to have both programs, both platforms, have that geographic expansion first. Every music scene is different. Every music scene is special and unique. And so we are so interested in how this tool supports each one of those. So there's so many things about what's happening in the Seattle classical music scene that does map on to different music scenes. So our current focus cities for the calendar are Seattle, Portland, Oregon, New York City, Baltimore, DC corridor, and Atlanta. And then we'll continue to bring out the comprehensiveness of those focus cities, as well as show up in more and more cities. So we already have folks who are consistently using the calendar in like Madison, Wisconsin, or Chicago, or Denver, or, you know, multiple cities in California. And that is about, you know, the dovetailing as an organization with your infrastructure is, how much of that can we support with volunteer teams, with staff? Are we able to kind of keep expanding and bring that same level of detail to the geographic expansion? So what you're saying, that kind of like growing that direction first and foremost. And then I do think that there is a future in which our technology really does support more genres within the performing arts, right? So that our technology definitely works to support theater or different genres or dance, you know, things that have that performance, the performance quality, and also where the IP is really, really important. Being able to track that, okay, which thing is getting performed, which theater piece, which dance piece, which whatever. What are the works that are being performed? Where is it happening? What are the details around that? And then helping people find their way to those things. But that is later. That's much farther down the path, because showing that you can be that comprehensive resource in multiple cities in the United States, first and foremost, really works when you have that focused scope, right? When it's very clear what people can find at your website. And so that really works for us, because classical music doesn't have a proliferation of these kinds of resources. We have good resources, but nothing that does exactly what Live Music Project does for classical music. And so if we can continue to be that resource, that lighthouse for people that are wanting to find their way into live performances of classical music, that's when they start to realize the effectiveness, what they can find on that resource. And then as we branch out geographically, makes a lot of sense. And then you can take on other genres or other modalities in the arts. But trying to do that too soon can be very confusing for the people that you're trying to lead into using your tools, right? So that's one of the things that we think a lot about from the leadership capacity, that, you know, as the executive director, but also the people who are my amazing board members, that we talk about those things and figure out, where are we in those long-term goals? And right now, we're very early in the national expansion part. And so that's super exciting, but it does mean there's many, many steps to the future.
Right. I'm curious, with my own nonprofit community claim, like, we're trying to encourage and involve businesses to, you know, send people out and do volunteer cleanups at different communities around the nation. What's been your process to try to hook, you know, a brain injury lawyer, you know, an asphalt delivery guy, or other business, you know, that might want to support the community? Like, how do you view interacting with businesses who, they of course have their own interests, slightly philanthropic, slightly self, you know, aggrandizing, trying to get the message out about themselves? Is there, you know, partnership for sponsorships that you've explored? Or, you know, these are co-occurring events, you know, people, I'm certain that these organizations want to drive, you know, and get more word out. And sometimes businesses can be very good about that, you know, either by providing additional audience or providing funding to reach additional audience. So what's been your game plan to work in that sponsorship angle?
Absolutely. So right now with the calendar, we have a pretty limited corporate sponsorship or just sponsorship model in general. We definitely team up. We have some community partnerships that are very impactful for us. And one of those is an ongoing community partnership that we have with King FM, which is the classical music radio station in Seattle. And so we have essentially become their calendar infrastructure backbone, right? So when they were doing this kind of work before, they realized that we were covering similar ground, and we partnered up together to kind of be that infrastructure for them. So that is very much a version that I see being able to be replicated across the country with organizations where they also support live classical music, but that's not their main mission in what they're doing. But they've often been the place where people turn to say, where do I go hear this, right? How do I go hear this in my community? Is that's the kind of partnership that I'm looking to do more of with the calendar. And then as we are rolling out spontaneous free tickets to this national level, that's a big conversation that we're having about corporate sponsorships specifically for that program. And those are meetings that I'm taking, you know, especially as we're rolling out this relaunch, as meeting up with brands, with national brands, especially those that are focused on our focus cities, where we have that overlap of where we have a lot of comprehensiveness, that this is a program in which their name can be on every single ticket, every single thank you, and really reinforce that community level support, right? So one of our guiding principles at Live Music Project is not about being extractive of the field, because we're already, there's a lot of data to support the fact that we're still really recovering financially from the pandemic. And there's a lot of uncertainty, especially with federal funding and things like that in the arts, is that Live Music Project doesn't seek to be extractive from the community that we're trying to support the most. So this is really a chance, especially the way we think about teaming up with brands, with corporate sponsors, to bring resources into the field, because they also want to be in front of and being viewed by all of these folks who live in these communities, who want to shop their brands, who want to, you know, use their services, all of that kind of stuff, and want to see those brands supporting that rising tide lifts all boats feeling when it comes to the arts. And so Live Music Project really has values around egalitarian display of information, being very welcoming, being that trailhead, not being exclusive or elitist or any of these kind of negative associations that sometimes folks have with classical music, that's really how we try to show up for our community. Is the classical music in your community right now is incredibly community focused, is incredibly welcoming. It's very accessible in so many ways because people have been thinking about it for a long time and putting in the work. And Live Music Project really wants to be that light shining on those efforts and helping people find their way into that, rather than feeling like there's this big wall between the two. And so when we have corporate sponsors, community partners, it's because we found the folks that feel that way as well about the arts. They know that showing up together to hear music in a hall, you're sitting near your friends and your neighbors, is a very important human activity that we do. And like, it really contributes to community wellness. It contributes to the overall economy of our cities. We know those things. We can, you know, we can share stats and stuff like that all day long, but also people know what it makes them feel, and it makes them feel connected to each other, makes them feel inspired, makes them feel like they've had a chance to rest and listen. And all of those things in a faster and faster paced world are so special and important. And that's really where we're coming from, is just reinforcing those things. So those are qualities that I look for when I'm having those conversations with community partners, with corporate sponsors, is those two things. Are we already overlapping somewhere where we can do that work and team up, and you don't have to put that on your staff, but we're finding that space together? And that looks like underwriting models and things like that. And then also corporate sponsors where, look, we have this entire group of people that really care about the arts in their community. Would you like to put your brand in front of them and show your support of that entire community, and not necessarily just one organization or the other? This kind of allows you to show a broad case of support for your entire area, for your entire region. So those are the things that I'm really looking for, and conversations that I think we're just having just such wonderful and inspiring conversations when I get to meet with people and talk about how we can team up in those ways.
That's incredible. As you kind of wrap up here, is there any events that you guys are involved in? Anything in specific that you want to shout out, a particular URL? I'm going to make sure anything that you'd like gets added to the show notes that you've referenced, or giving you a recap post so people can follow and find these resources and read more about this story. Is there anything in particular that you want to promote or make sure upcoming in the next couple months, or maybe around Christmas, something that you want to bring more awareness to?
You know, Jeremy, thank you so much. I feel like the thing that I want to share the most is that Live Music Project is a nonprofit because we care about the community-driven nature of this, right? We had a question when we were first forming about, is this nonprofit or is this a for-profit venture? We decided to go the nonprofit route really specifically because everything we do is community-driven. And the thing that I'm asking for the most, I think, is anybody who's listening to this, is that if this gets you excited, if you like this idea of community-driven technology, community-driven uplifting of the arts, all of that kind of stuff, is that come get involved with us, right? That could look like being on our calendar squad of volunteers where you help small arts organizations who don't have a marketing staff submit their concerts to the calendar. It's a very easy lift. Like, we have a good group of people that do it. And then also, if you have like technology in your background, this is an incredible way to share those skills in a very manageable volunteering way. And so I just want people to consider that and think about, is this a place where my time and my talents would be appreciated? Absolutely. And I hope that people will consider getting involved with us that way and just signing up, you know, sign up for, subscribe for our Weekend Digest emails for your area and start going to some more concerts. The Live Music Project is growing all the time. And the reason that makes me so happy is that I know that those like 200,000 annual users that we have this year, that's going to be growing and growing and growing, that means people are going. That means that, as we say, button seats, like, you know, that feeling of, I know that because we cut down on that part where, you know, decision fatigue and all of that kind of stuff gets in the way, I had to go like 7 clicks to find something. It's not like that. So it feels like I know that people are finding their way to this resource. And what we're doing is actually getting them in the room, listening to music, meeting their friends and their neighbors. And so really my one ask is just, if that sounds interesting to you, sign up for our emails. Think about volunteering, right? Join us. It's a fun group of people.
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you.
Yeah. Jeremy, you mentioned the website. Please come over, visit livemusicproject.org. It's easy to find everything from there. That's where the calendar is. You can see how to get involved with spontaneous free tickets from there too. So livemusicproject.org. And you can find us on the socials.
Fantastic. I really appreciate your time, and I'm glad I could get a little bit more visibility for your organization. Thanks for your time.
Jeremy, thank you so much. This is such a pleasure. I really appreciate you offering this platform to small organizations like ours, and also just such a lovely conversation.
Thank you.